Is there anything more public radio than a string quartet version of Thriller? This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, and today is Halloween, a holiday with a lot of history going back centuries, even millennia. Nowadays, of course, it's basically a celebration of all things scary and spooky. And don't forget the candy. Lots of candy. Somehow my kids already have a 2-gallon tote filled with candy, and we haven't even gone trick-or-treating yet. I digress. For the last part of today's show, we wanted to take a few minutes to talk about some of the spooky stories, myths, and legends that make the rounds at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, where our home station, Illinois Public Media, is based. The university archives have had an exhibit up all month highlighting some of those stories, and we are joined now by the curators. Kristen Wilson is the archive's Illinois Distributed Museum Coordinator, and Sarah Harris is visiting archives program officer. Kristen, Sarah, welcome to the 21st show. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Brian. Happy Halloween. Thanks so much for having us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, happy Halloween to you as well. And listeners, no matter where you are in Illinois, we want to invite you to join the conversation at 800-222-9455. What are some of your favorite local spooky myths and legends from your part of the state? Share them with us at 800-222-9455. All right, Kristen, I want to start with you. This is a university with more than 150 years of history. How much is there for you to go through when it comes to the spooky, the scary, or I guess even just the surreal?
Yeah, so we have a lot in our collections, but finding the spooky and the scary can be a little bit more difficult. We have a couple different places we can look. We've found things in our newspapers, from the student newspapers, yearbooks, but sometimes it's harder to find these kind of ghost stories. People like to kind of keep it under wraps and just keep it more of an oral history tradition. But we were able to find a good amount of stuff for this exhibit.
Okay, so at this point, I should mention, we've kind of held back. The name of the exhibit is actually called Where Are the Bodies? Myths, Legends, and Rumors at the University of Illinois. Kristen, why call it that?
So we started talking about this exhibit, and we wanted to do something spooky and fun for Halloween. One kind of fun fact that we have is that there are 3 bodies buried on campus, and those are kind of the only 3 bodies that are allowed to be buried on campus. So I was like, yeah, we got to tell everyone where the bodies are. And Sarah's like, that's the name. That is what we are going to name this exhibit. So we called it that, but we have both myths, we have legends, and we have rumors are kind of the, what encompasses this whole exhibit. We didn't have a ton of just plain ghost stories or a ton. Like I said, there's only 3 bodies, so you can't make a whole big exhibit out of 3 bodies. So we also have some myths on building related myths of what's been built, what's been underneath the buildings. We've had also collections that are very spooky and haunted. So we talk about that in the exhibit as well.
Yeah, the myths about buildings, maybe we can come back to the question of whether there is an excavator or bulldozer buried under Memorial Stadium. But for now, let's talk about those 3 bodies. This prompted some discussion and debate in the newsroom as we were trying to, those of us who consider ourselves U of I old timers, we're trying to list them off. And you stumped us because one of them is, checking my notes here, a cow. So, Sarah, tell us about one of the bodies being buried on campus being a cow. How did that happen?
Yeah, so her name is Illini Nelly, and she was on campus in the 1930s. She ended up producing over almost 120,000 pints of milk in her time, which was a world record at that point in time. She was pretty famous on campus, as you can imagine, being in ag school mostly, that people just truly loved her. And when she passed, they wanted to give her a memorial. So she is buried in the around the dairy barns with a nice little plaque, and people still go see her to this day.
Amazing. So, and I guess we should say, for those who may be very familiar with the U of I campus, there is an entire cemetery. I guess that's not properly on campus for the purposes of what we're talking about, though. So, Kristen, who are the other 2 bodies that are buried on campus, briefly?
Our first regent of the university, he wasn't quite called a president at the time, but was essentially the president. Gregory, he is buried on campus in between the Henry Admin building and the English building. He didn't want a huge fuss, huge memorial. He wanted people to recognize that the university that he built was his memorial. So that's why he was buried on campus. And then the other one we have is a pig buried on campus.
A pig buried on campus. That's some pig. Okay, so we've asked both of you to come, this is Halloween, with some of your favorite campus Halloween stories, either from the exhibit or just from the broader archives. And Sarah, I'll start with you. What have you got for us?
Absolutely. So I've got my favorite ghost story that I've heard on campus. I think it's a fairly famous one that most people hear when they start, you know, start school or start working here. It's the ghost in the English building. So originally, the English building that's on Wright Street was the women's building. You will definitely hear it called the women's dormitory, but that's actually incorrect. The women's building was more of a place for different activities and classes for women to attend. And there was even a swimming pool in the building in the atrium area. The story goes that a young woman drowned in the pool in the early 1900s, and whether her death was accidental or due to the grief of an unrequited love, we don't really know. These stories change, you know, with every telling usually. So I've heard many, many different options. But since then, the poor woman is said to haunt the building. People claim to hear footsteps and slamming doors in parts of the building where no one should be. And lights tend to flicker for seemingly no reason. No one in the archives has ever found proof that a woman died in that building at all, let alone in the pool. So it remains a legend passed down from student to student, especially this time of year. It's, you know, it's a nice little spooky story to tell.
It's interesting, though, how these things continue to grow. I mean, and there are seeds of truth, right? It wasn't a dorm, but there was a pool. So there's this seed of plausibility, right?
Absolutely. These things always have those nice little seeds of truth to where it could almost be true. I think that's evidenced by the fact that many of us have had to, over the years, look into this to see if there really has been anybody that has passed away in that building, and nothing yet.
Nothing yet. All right. Kristen, what about you? What's your story or myth of campus lore?
So one of my favorite ones revolves around the architecture of the foreign language building. And the foreign language building looks almost like an upside down square pyramid. So it's skinnier in the bottom that touches the ground, and then it slowly builds outwards. And so it's a very unique design, especially because every other building on the quad, it's on our main quad, looks kind of like a more academic college building that you would expect. So I think
it's
that
all like
kinda,
it's neoclassical and pillars as far as the eye can see. And then there's this weird upside down pyramid. Yes.
So I think that just lent itself very much able to have this kind of rumor of, well, why in the world would someone build it like that? So something that I've heard parents telling their kids on campus all the time is, oh, it was built like that because there was a supercomputer in the basement. And so during the Cold War, like Champaign-Urbana was going to be could have been a target of nuclear bombings. And because of this supercomputer, which we did have the first supercomputer on a college campus. And so they were like, if the war comes and the bomb hits, the building's going to fall, so it won't crush the supercomputer and it'll all be okay. But that is not why it was built that way. There was no supercomputer in the basement. There were Plato terminals, which were computers for education, that connected to a supercomputer elsewhere on campus, but the supercomputer was not actually located in the building. And I had not known the real reason why it was built like that. I just knew it wasn't true that the supercomputer was there. But in this research, I did find an article stating that the architects and campus built it that way because it allowed for more office space and it allowed for more people to have windows, actually, which I really appreciated as someone who often has to work in dark basements in museums and archives. I was like, ah, yes, I would also would love a window if I was getting a brand new building. So they built it that way so they could fit about 450 offices and try to give as many people a window as possible.
That's interesting because I, yes, as a radio worker, we don't have a lot of windows either. But I had heard that. I mean, when I was there in the 90s, it was just the idea of the windows is what I'd heard. I had not. Maybe the bomb shelter story grew up a little after my time. Interesting. Yeah. So let me just remind listeners, it's the 21st show. It's Halloween today. And we're talking with the curators of an exhibit in the University of Illinois archives about just some of the myths, legends, and other spooky and surreal things that have happened on campus over the years. We're talking with Sarah Harris, visiting archives program officer, and Kristen Wilson, the archives Illinois distributed museum coordinator. And just a few minutes left in our time together, Kristen, when we're talking about trawling through history, the university archives, you're dealing with a lot of times concrete subject matter, right? There's a lot of information to go around. You can give people a clear picture of what happened, if not why happened. What makes looking at this side of university history different?
Yeah, so it's definitely a little harder to oftentimes prove things that didn't happen. You know, like Sarah was saying, we couldn't find any proof that the woman in a building drowned. One of the other stories we have was a bulldozer buried under Memorial Stadium. And so, you know, it's a lot easier to look through notes and concrete things and be like, oh yes, it says right here, we buried the bulldozer under Memorial Stadium. But if you're looking for something that didn't happen, there's no sentence that says this didn't happen. So these can definitely be a little trickier to research and try to understand what didn't happen and where, like we were talking earlier, where those kernels of truths come from to help make this a plausible story.
You know, Sarah, that does raise the idea. You can't prove a negative. What is the, at this time of year where a lot of people are sharing these spooky stories, true or untrue they might be, they're everywhere. Sarah, talk about the importance of keeping that side of our history intact, right? These culture, these stories, even if there's not always rock solid evidence or truth, as there may be with other things you have in the archives.
Yeah, so I think these stories are particularly interesting, and I kind of always been into this kind of thing, where, yes, I do love the history. I love the facts that we can bring to people, but at the same time, these stories that people tell that are handed down generation to generation and, you know, class to class, they really tell a story of what the students are thinking about at the time, what the students are kind of scared of, where their worries are. College can be a pretty scary place, and I think that's why these kind of stories really grow around colleges. It's that we're definitely not the only ones. So it's the way that these stories are told really gives a look at how the students of the time were dealing with whatever they were dealing with in the school.
Interesting. Yeah. Maybe the Cold War rumors for the foreign language building. All right. Sarah Harris and Kristen Wilson with the University of Illinois Archives. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
The exhibit has been called Where Are the Bodies? Myths, Legends, and Rumors at the University of Illinois. And that is all the time we have for our show today. Coming up tomorrow, Illinois passed a law this year aimed at preventing libraries from banning certain books. This comes as conservative groups have targeted libraries over their selections. We'll listen back to my conversation with a group of public and school librarians about what their work is like today. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can get a podcast of this program by visiting our website, 21stshow.org, or just look us up on Apple or Spotify by searching for The 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. That's it for us today. We will talk with you again tomorrow. Happy Halloween.